Happy Wednesday out there, Team 42. It's your skipper here, Darius Dell, to present our macro minute for Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. Hope everyone's having a great week. So as always, we'll start with the executive summary from today's lead-off morning note. So let's dive right in. Today's key macro question is, why would POTUS attempt to fire Fed Chair Powell? Our answer is to preserve optionality by setting Powell up as the fall guy to the extent the economy turns south ahead of the midterms. He likely knows such an unprecedented act will encounter resistance from the judicial branch and from an FOMC that digs in and resists his demands for much lower policy rates. Here are the most important things we learned today regarding the six key macro cycles that influence the momentum and dispersion within and across asset markets on a trend basis, starting with the growth cycle. In the Eurozone, the February industrial production data supported our outlook for moderating growth. In Japan, the February core machine orders data supported our outlook for firming inflation. Recall that Japan's machine tool orders are among the very best leading indicators of the global manufacturing cycle and signal a robust recovery in global growth in the quarters ahead. Nothing actionable with respect to our Bayesian priors with the inflation cycle. In terms of the monetary policy cycle, President Trump stated that he would terminate Jerome Powell as Fed chair if he does not exit in time, while affirming that the Department of Justice investigation into Powell's alleged wrongdoing will proceed without interruption. POTUS said in an interview with Fox Business, I'll have to fire him, okay, if he's not leaving on time. I've held back from firing him. I've voted to fire him, but I hate to be controversial. He further added, whether it's incompetence, corruption, or both, I think you have to find out. I really do. These strong remarks arrived shortly after U.S. prosecutors attempted an unannounced inspection of Fed offices in Washington on Tuesday, but were refused entry. This is consistent with our long-held view that Fed independence will be eroded to counter the geopolitically driven supply-demand imbalance in the Treasury bond market, which has been our core research view since we outlined the thesis in the summer of 2023, which essentially led us to forecast that all of Wall Street and every institution in the world will start to rotate out of the bond market into gold. I believe we nailed that. The Fed is the only institution in the world with a balance sheet large and flexible enough to fill this growing void, and its independence must be eroded to fill it, akin to the prior four turning. This does, however, complicate the medium-term policy outlook by lowering the probability of incremental monetary accommodation. Nothing actionable with respect to the fiscal policy and liquidity cycles, and then finally the positioning cycle. The U.S. administration's effort to blockade the Strait of Hormuz risks destabilizing the U.S.-China trade war detente just weeks ahead of a planned summit in Beijing, where President Trump was scheduled to meet with President Xi Jinping. Xi ended a nearly seven-week communication hiatus on Tuesday by cautioning that the global order is crumbling into disarray while committing China to play a constructive role in the Middle East. Meanwhile, Beijing's foreign ministry condemned President Trump's naval blockade as dangerous and irresponsible. The rhetorical escalation from Beijing is stress-testing an already tenuous U.S.-China equilibrium, with U.S. enforcement actions against blockade violators raising the probability of direct maritime friction involving Chinese-linked vessels and U.S. Navy forces, thereby complicating Beijing's preference to avoid overt confrontation. Recall that China sources roughly 11% of its crude oil imports from Iran. Transition to our 42 macro dashboard. As always, we'll wrap up with a question from our community. This one's titled Jobless Thesis and Corporate Profits. This is, for corporate profits to increase, corporations need a buyer. And white collar jobs get displaced by AI agents and incomes continue to be marginalized. When and where do we cross the Rubicon where corporate profits can no longer go up because there's not enough dollars within the consumer base to support an increase in corporate profits? What should we expect to see in the models prior to it happening, i.e. corporate profits falling? Excellent question to me. I think this is the biggest question of our time is you know, how the economy evolves from a profitability standpoint, what happens to labor income, and ultimately what happens to federal budget balances to the extent that labor income is replaced by something like universal basic income. That's a big question. I don't think we have time to answer that today. But the one thing I will say, as it relates to this question specifically, when do we cross the Rubicon? In my opinion, with this chart, let me briefly summarize this chart. The blue line in this chart shows labor share of national income. It's been an all-out assault on labor share of income for decades for a variety of very corporatist policies, not the least of which is globalization. Obviously, we saw the advent of China joining the WTO, things of that nature, a lot of tax law changes favoring capital over labor, a lot of regulation that kind of forced this line down as well. Then the red line shows corporate profits as a share of GDP, obviously up and to the right. So the one thing I would say is, as long as corporations, and if you think about this from a revenue perspective, this question really comes from the perspective of the revenue angle, when will there not be enough income to support revenue growth? In broader GDP growth in the economy, gross domestic income growth. And my response to that is, It actually does. This is not a revenue problem. This is more of a margin story. If the blue line goes down faster, which is labor share of national income, if the blue line goes down faster than the hypothetical third line, let's say we have a yellow line here, which is at national income, if the slope of the blue line is more negative than the slope of the gross domestic income, then you're still talking about expanding margins and widening profits. And so, you know, corporations can win twofold. One, AI just booms the economy. We don't have a jobless recovery, and ultimately, the incomes continue to grow and or stagnate, at least stagnate, but continue to grow. And then you wind up having more dollars flow through the bottom line from a faster revenue growth rate. Or conversely, you have stagnant revenue growth, but margins expand because labor share of that income, of the income they are receiving, is actually falling faster than the growth rate of that income. In the world draconian scenario, both labor share and the income growth are negative. And so that's those are two ways in which corporations are likely to win. And the third thing I'll say about this is that AI, the sort of foisting of AI upon society at the quickest pace possible and fabricating this, you know, this war, this race with China, like we must win AI, this AI race against China, which is justifying the foisting, the speed at which this technology is being foisted upon our society without any thoughtful guardrails. I think, in my opinion, the reason they are foisting it so quickly is not just from a profitability perspective in terms of the oligarchs who have control of the technology, but it's also a power consolidation perspective. If we wind up in a world where there's AGI and you have, a large portion of the workforce on universal basic income, just think about the amount of power that gives to the folks in Silicon Valley or the folks around the world and country that are developing this AI or getting paid to legislate. Getting paid by those developers to legislate policies that are favorable for that. I mean, to me, it's more than just profits. It's also power and the dominance of power on a durable basis. And so I think you have to think about that as well in terms of why this technology is being foisted upon us so quickly. So we're wrapping it there. Terry Stell here presenting our Macro Minute for Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. I just wanted to quickly shout out one of my mentors from the great beyond, Jackie Robinson. Happy Jackie Robinson Day. A little bit over 5 years ago, I got struck with the quote, the life is not important except for the impact that it has on other lives. And it really sort of set me down a different path from a life perspective and from a career perspective as well. The number one thing I realized at that time when I came upon that quote is that, I was basically just spending my career, making myself rich through helping other rich people get rich. And that was fine. It was great. I made a lot of money. But the reality is that's not a meaningful life to live. And once I recognized how meaningless of a life that was to live, that's when I decided to, create this wonderful company, 42 Macro, and serving the thousands of customers that we serve on a daily basis around the world, the families that we serve. And I'm so super proud of what we built here. Super proud of you guys. Just really thankful for you guys tuning in to these Macro Minutes and supporting me in this mission to sort of change the world and upgrade the investing habits of the general investing public. And so just thank you for all that. And happy Jackie Robinson Day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. Cheers.
Disclaimer, 42 Macro does not provide, and no portion of our content purports to be, individualized or specific investment advice. And 42 Macro does not provide investment advice to individuals. All information provided by 42 Macro is general in nature and is made without regard to individual levels of sophistication or investment experience, investment preferences, objectives, or risk parameters, and without regard to the suitability of the content for individuals or entities who may access it. No information provided by 42 Macro should be construed as an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor should it be construed as tailored or specific to you or consumer thereof. You understand and agree that our content does not constitute specific recommendations of any particular investment, security, portfolio, transaction, or strategy, nor does it recommend any specific course of action is suitable for any specific person or entity or group of persons or entities. At any point in time, the employees of 42 Macro may own a portion of or all the ETF securities discussed in 42 Macro Research content. 42 Macro Research content is based upon information from sources believed to be reliable. 42 Macro is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information, nor is it responsible for the accuracy or authenticity of the information upon which it relies.